So our breastfeeding-friendly community health centers project began last year and is really a collaboration of three main organizations. So Within Reach is a statewide maternal child health nonprofit. It's home to the Breastfeeding Coalition of Washington. Our other two partners are the Washington State Department of Health, who we have a very long, historic, and excellent and strong relationship with the Breastfeeding Coalition, and the University of Washington Center for Public Health and Nutrition provided evaluation for this. We have nothing to disclose, and we forgot a slide, so we have nothing to disclose. Just wanted to give you a little bit of a glance about Washington State. You might have heard us folks in the West, we like to start off breastfeeding, so just under 9 in 10 babies start at life breastfeeding. And we were really excited about this funding opportunity because it provided us the opportunity to really hone in on exclusivity and discharge, where we all know it's kind of like a backwards check, right? We just kind of start diving down. So we were really excited about this opportunity. So I hope you love my clip art. We wanted to take a moment and give you an overview of kind of the overarching infrastructure that we're building right now in Washington State that our clinic project fit underneath. We are in the process of getting a really nice kind of infographic, but you're stuck with my clip art for now. And really the idea with Washington Steps Up for Breastfeeding Success is to support institutions and organizations to make these best practice policy and environmental changes that support breastfeeding. I think in my work, and many of you can probably relate, we have, you know, I have the hospital collaborative. We work with 19 hospitals. We have this clinic project. We have our worksite initiative. And we realized one day that we were really looking at it from this, like, siloed perspective. And so we stopped and really are changing our framework and thinking about kind of this path that a family takes after they have a child and all of these major institutions that they need to interact with and working to get these folks kind of all flowing in the same direction, make sure they know who they are and are in communication. So that's really the heart of Washington Steps Up, and the goal is simple. It's wherever a mom goes, she will be supported in her decision to breastfeed. I'm happy that we went after New York because the heart of Washington Steps Up is basically a quality improvement and recognition program, so very similar to what you're doing. And it's modeled on several successful single-sector projects, namely from North Carolina, their maternity center designation, but then we took it and expanded it to these four sectors. And the rationale behind this really is, somebody said this to me recently, and it's so common sense, but it's kind of like my guiding light right now, that the decision to breastfeed is not a one-time decision. It happens literally every single day, every time that mom goes out into the community. She's deciding to breastfeed or to not. And at every turn and every person that mom interacts with, her decision can be helped or can be hindered, and it can be supported or a barrier can be put up for her. So we're really trying to make kind of the path of least resistance in a way for moms. We also know that public recognition helps drive process improvement. So providing this carrot approach instead of the stick approach, which we're keeping on the back burner for now, with these organizations to really give them this public recognition for doing great work and bring them along. Also, consistent messaging. We're both moms of young kids, and just going to providers and hearing all these different messages. The idea with Washington Steps Up is to make sure that everyone's using this consistent evidence-based messaging so moms are hearing the same thing over and over again. So this quickly is our draft logo. It's not final. And the idea is that, so we have these four sectors, right? Hospitals, clinics, work sites, and childcare. And we have 10 sector-specific evidence-based steps for each of these arenas. And then we're doing a star system just like North Carolina did. Thank you. We love Catherine Sullivan. She shared everything. She's amazing. And so for every two best practice steps achieved, one star is given. And so we all know when we walk into this amazing facility and the nice hotels that we're at, what a four-star hotel means. And that's kind of the idea here, that eventually families will start to know and the providers that care for those families will start to know this is the care that you're going to receive when you go give birth at Yakima Valley Memorial Hospital. And that's really the idea with the logo, is we want this to be for both providers and for families to start to know, like, mom goes to the hospital, she's going to see this. She'll go take her baby for their well baby visits, and she'll see this. She'll take baby to childcare, and she'll see this. And she'll go back to work eventually, and she'll see this. So really to start to kind of rise up the entire community around breastfeeding support. And similar to the North Carolina program, it's a continuum of improvement. So organizations can apply as often as they like and as they move along on that continuum of implementing the 10 steps. Recognition will come from the Washington State Secretary of Health. And then we're working on our website. And the website's really exciting because it's two-pronged in a way. So it's going to be there for families and the people that care for those families to come and similarly to Zip Milk, put in their zip code and find all the breastfeeding-friendly providers in their community and know which of those steps. So if I'm a WIC coordinator working, I can sit down with mom and say, hey, you're getting ready to go give birth here. This is what skin-to-skin is. You're going to expect this, and they'll know exactly what that care is. And then on the other side of the website is for providers. So we have, well, Cammie will get into this quickly, but a toolkit and a self-assessment for each of those sectors. So to move on to briefly our 10 steps for the clinic, we don't have time to go into them in depth, but know that all of the main resources that you would think to look towards, like the ABM Protocol 14, American Academy of Family Physicians, and then a lot of other programs that other states are doing, is all wrapped up into this package of 10 steps. So we did a lot of work with four doctoral students over the past year to kind of work and really set up the infrastructure and make sure that our evidence-based tables behind this are solid so that when somebody comes and says, why are you talking about culturally relevant care? What's the deal? There's a lot of information behind that. So to move on to our clinic project, we were fortunate enough to work with 8 clinics. 4 of them are primarily Latino-serving FQHCs. And then 4 of them are tribal clinics, reservation-based, so that was really exciting. Our cohort was really great, and you can see we have a pretty good geographic distribution bringing folks together. And we estimated, I think we have about 450 mother dyads as a part of this. And that was kind of one of the big quick learning lessons for us is, you know, Quinault, which is the furthest to the left clinic, has not many births,
25
births, but so in thinking of the N, it might not be big, but in thinking of the percent and the community impact change, we're like revolutionizing their breastfeeding world. So we're trying to kind of switch the thinking on that as well. It's not just about the N and as many, it's really changing the culture of breastfeeding in these communities. So what we did, these are kind of our main steps. We had initial site visits. Cammie and I drove across the great state of Washington many times. And this was really important before we brought the whole cohort together, we felt, because kind of having partnership building and building that individual relationship with these clinics really helped once we all came together, people feeling like they were ready to hit the ground running, and it wasn't a lot of kind of meet and greet. We did a project overview, and we introduced the pre-assessment. So at the kickoff meeting where all 8 clinics came together, like I said, we have kind of a questionnaire that assesses their implementation of these baseline 10 steps. So we have their baseline, and then we're getting ready to do their post to see what their change is. We did follow-up site visits. That was really to work on their work plans and individualized goals and to provide technical assistance kind of for the beginning, the low-hanging fruit that they started to implement of the 10 steps. We did 2 big trainings. So the first one was what we call an administrative training. It was really kind of looking at policy and practice change around these 10 steps and kind of the organizational changes that needed to happen to put those into place. One of the big ones is billing for lactation support, which is really overwhelming for a lot of our clinics, as maybe they are for yours. So we brought in kind of the premier biller for maternity services in our state to kind of walk through it. We also did more of just a clinical training. So we brought in Molly Pessel from Evergreen Perinatal Education, and she provided an 8-hour all-day training to providers, staff, and community partners.
Okay. Okay. Hello. So 2 of our big deliverables are the collaterals are our provider toolkit and the toolkit and the provider reference card. So with the toolkit, this is what eventually after this project is over and it goes out to the world, and we hope we get this influx of every community health center, private practice wanting to become a breastfeeding friendly site. But they'll have access to this toolkit where we really have kind of each step laid out. We have the evidence in there. We have some implementation strategies. So for like step 1, you know, as far as which is creating a infant feeding policy that designates breastfeeding as the preferred feeding choice. So we would in that have, you know, the evidence that backs that up, which we all know there's a ton of that of. The implementation strategies, so, you know, finding a breastfeeding champion, meeting with your, you know, HR about creating a policy, all that. We have resources, so we'll have links, you know, links to websites with other infant feeding policies or whatever step it is. And then we have our community exemplars, which most of them we're using from the pilot project. The provider reference card is also something we're in the process of developing, which is going to be a reference card for providers to use in clinic that will have a couple of different things. As you see up here, we have the key points, how we know baby's getting enough. We've kind of developed this ask, assess, advise, so that has some scripting. So what are, what's something you can say at 1 week, to prompt mom about asking about breastfeeding, and then kind of assessment, scripting, and advising, so good advice for her. And then, of course, troubleshooting, so, key points on thrush, sore nipples, that, common issues that come up in private practice. So for our evaluation, we did the pre-assessment, which was a pretty extensive assessment. So I'm thinking each clinic, it probably took them close to an hour, 30 to 45 minutes to an hour to finish. They've been doing progress reports throughout the project that included phone interviews and then also just some written reports, and then we've done the training evaluations, and then we're doing the final assessment, which was just completed. The end of our project was October 31st, so the final evaluations have been done, so we're looking forward to seeing those. This is just kind of some of the stuff that we've done, so the baseline, I'm not going to go too far into those, but there's definitely been some really great work that these clinics have been doing to becoming more breastfeeding friendly, which is really exciting. Okay, so we have our additional highlights. So a lot of the clinics have designated breastfeeding friendly spaces, so whether that's a private space for moms or women to nurse if they would like to be in private, or pump for employees, that kind of stuff. We have a lot of our clinics are offering breastfeeding friendly or breastfeeding classes, which is really great. Triage, the culturally sensitive care, which was something that was really interesting because we are in four of our clinics are tribal clinics, and we found that, and it was one of our mistakes that we made, was most of the assessment as far as if someone is culturally competent is around language. And in tribal communities, we largely speak English. And so we weren't kind of taking into account. It was kind of funny when we saw it. We saw that the baseline was all of these Spanish, predominantly Latino clinics were culturally competent, and none of the tribal clinics we had, had said they were. And I was like, wait, that's not right, because they're obviously very culturally competent. So those are just some things. So some of the tribal considerations is, that we did. So I'm the founder and chair of the Native American Breastfeeding Coalition of Washington. So I really wanted to kind of actively recruit tribal clinics to be a part of this project, because we are largely neglected in all areas, especially around breastfeeding, though. So we did an actual, an invitation or a recruitment process for tribal clinics. Something to keep in mind is tribes are sovereign nations, so these are not kind of government to community health center relationships, they're government to government. So the contracting was, did that just turn off? Okay, I'll just talk louder. the contracting process was long, and this was definitely a challenge. Some of the tribes had to literally pass laws that allowed them to receive funding from the state. So those were things where our other community health centers just could get going. Also another challenge that we have in Washington State and a lot of tribal communities around the country is most of our tribal centers don't offer OB. Women come in and they take a pregnancy test, and then they're sent to town off-site and come back at 10 months later not breastfeeding. So this is definitely a challenge, and this project is really able to help with creating continuity and staying involved with these moms during their pregnancy. As I said, we had to do pass legislation, which is another thing is that as sovereign nations, their state law doesn't apply there. So, you know, for some of our clinics, we could say, well, it's state law that a woman has a right to breastfeed wherever she has a right to be, or a woman, you know, has a right to pump if she's away from her baby. Those laws don't apply on tribe, on reservation land. So we had to create laws to, you know, really support and have the backup of this work. And then, you know, as Rachel talked about, it is a small number, but it's really about creating cultural change in the tribal community. So it's well worth it for sure. And then these are just some pictures of our work. So this is the Quinault tribal Quinault tribe, their breastfeeding policy. They were the only tribe, the only clinic that had a breastfeeding policy prior to starting, or an infant feeding policy prior to starting this project. And they used the funds and the work for this project to kind of really add some other things to it. But we have some spaces down here. In the bottom, I guess it would be your right, is the Quinault Tribe's breastfeeding conference that they held as part of this. It was an all staff of their community, of their social and health services. Every single employee came here and listened about breastfeeding for 6 hours or 5 hours. So it was awesome because it really is this kind of creating this community ground soil and cultural change to breastfeeding being the norm in the community. So that is that. So some of our challenges is, which will be some repeat, it seems that there are challenges in the other states as well. So the contracting process time, I mean, this is a short project, and we had kind of some additional issues just with DOH and getting the contracts going, that we got a little bit of a later start than some of the other states. Clinics are short staffed, so with doing the, you know, clinical training, that kind of stuff is pretty difficult when, you know, at a tribal clinic or a community health center where their providers are only there 2 days a week, and there's some, you know, everyone's kind of in crisis, and so to step away for 8 hours for a breastfeeding training, or 5 hours, or even 1 hour, is a lot to ask of these clinics. So that was hard. Provider buy-in, we found that this was largely WIC. It was a lot of the WIC providers had applied for the grant for the clinics. And so that was something that kind of ended up being a challenge in some areas, is that, you know, the providers were like, well, wait, I don't understand, you know, and which was interesting. And then, again, just kind of staff time, so they had to do other stuff. So our next steps is we're going to finalize our edits from the pilot clinic feedback. So we're, like I said, we're doing our final evaluations have been completed. We'll get those out and hopefully have our first 4- and 5-star breastfeeding friendly designated sites in Washington State, which will be great. And then launching our website, which Rachel talked about. There we go. This is one of our clinics too. So thank you.